It's Friday! And it really is. But it's a Friday at the Trafford Centre in Manchester, and it's a bit noisy. Now, I can't believe how lucky I am. I'm sat on a bench outside a certain fruity-named computer shop. Well, we're not going to go there because we've had nasty experiences with that particular fruity brand. But I'm sat here with Jacob Clark.
Hi, everybody.
So, Jacob, you're on Twitter, right? Is it I am Jacob Clark?
Yeah,
it's J-A-C-O-B...
C-L-A-R-K.
No E on the
end. No E
yeah.
on the end, no.
Now, I think we've been talking to each other on Twitter and via email for probably about 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, I'd say it was around that time, yeah.
And the first I knew about you was you were saying you were really excited about going to the computer at school.
Define.
And that was the event that was run by a number of individuals like Laura Dixon and Carrie-Anne Philbin. It was all about trying to include everybody into computer science.
That's right, yeah.
So I couldn't get to that event. Tell me a little bit about what happened when you got there.
Basically, there were several workshops on the day. I think it was 4 or 5, and we were looking at Raspberry Pi robots, programming games in Python, building apps with the language Java, and there was so much going on in the day. And there were a few talks. Dr. Tom Crick came along and gave a talk. And then at the end, we gave the best participants free Raspberry Pis. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, you're not a teacher, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm a student studying computer science myself.
And you, second year student?
First year.
First year.
Yeah.
University of Manchester?
Salford. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So is that the campus that's Media City?
No, it's... Well, if I was doing MIT, it would be Media City, but it's the Peel campus, which is just near Salford Crescent.
Ah, right. Yeah. Okay. So what made you decide that you wanted to start getting involved with teachers and supporting events?
Well, I suppose it was... I mean, everybody says this, but I never had this opportunity when I was at school. And I think, you know, it's fantastic for people who are in the industry to be getting involved in these sort of things, and it's fantastic for children as well. So
where did the bug first bite you, the computer science bug?
Everybody says this as well, but I was really young and I was getting into building websites, and I think my first website was a Sonic fan club, I think.
Right.
You know,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's right. Yeah. And it just took off from there, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and now you've... So you're based in Manchester or Salford.
Yeah, that's right.
And you went to the Define event.
Yeah.
And you came back, and now you started doing your own.
That's right,
thing.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's called Open Computer Science, and we sort of look more at electronics, robots, programming languages, that sort of thing. So it's a bit like the Coder Dojos, but we sort of run workshops focusing on just one thing to get a skill down as well as we can.
And am I right in thinking that the last event you ran, it was around Arduino, is that right?
Well, it wasn't quite around Arduino. It was more along the bare bones basic components that make up the Arduino.
But it's like the shrimp kit.
Not quite. More like transistors and resistors and breadboards, that sort of stuff. So really basic stuff.
That's how I actually first started teaching.
That's awesome.
It was called Systems and Control Design Technology. And we used to build kits with LEDs and 555 timers and all those kind of things. But then software came along and it was like, wow.
Yeah, microcontrollers.
So how many events? You're holding events at MadLab, is that right?
That's right.
Manchester?
I think the next one is on the 2nd of November, so in about 3 weeks, and we're going to be looking at programming with Python. So we're going to be looking at things like Minecraft and the GPIO on the Pi and things like that. So that's the next one.
And are these events open to anybody? Or
Well, anybody under the age of 18. So we like to keep it to the children. Yeah. Yeah.
And they just sign up and there's like
a site online? Yeah, you can go to opencomputerscience.co.uk and just check out our events section and just buy as many tickets as you like.
This is fantastic. Yeah. And I presume you're being paid a lot to run these situations?
Nope, not at all. Fantastic companies from around Manchester and the world help us run these events, which is fantastic for them. Yeah.
So, thank you very much. So you're Jacob Clark, Open Computer Science.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think I've seen a Twitter handle, haven't I?
Yeah. Open Comp Sky, so that's OpenComp.sci. Well, that's at Twitter.
Okay. Jacob, lovely to meet you, actually, in the flesh.
And yes, definitely. And you.
Thank you. That's right. Shh. So, it's Sunday morning, and it's nearly Sunday lunchtime, and we're at the Junior Hack Jam, which we're holding at the Media Factory at UCLan. And in the room, there's about 20. Yeah, it's about 20 people. We've got mums and sons, dads and daughters. We've got children from about, I would say,
6 or 7 years up to, I think our oldest is probably about 15 at the moment. We've got Raspberry Pis and laptops, and people are hacking and building and playing and coding. And I'm here with David Raines.
What's up? That's me.
And you're suffering a bit with the cold at the moment.
I am, yeah. So deepest voice in the world.
Yeah. So David,
Bonnie Tyler.
I imagine you've spent about an hour travelling to get here this morning.
Not quite, just half an hour.
Half an hour or so. Yeah,
it's easy on a Sunday morning.
But you'll have had to set your alarm clock at like 7 or 8 or something this morning.
I've got two alarm clocks.
Oh, okay.
Emma and Hannah.
Okay.
Year 7, so they managed to wake me up.
So what's made you get up so early on a Sunday morning to come all the way over to Preston? What?
It was, I used the girls, my twin daughters, as an excuse.
Right.
Really. It's for me to see what other people are doing as far as programming goes. And it's a really good start because we've used Scratch at my school quite a bit over the years, even before Michael Gove said it was great. And I just want to see a different way of using it.
So are you teaching computer science at your school?
We've just introduced it. I know it's ahead of the curriculum starting next year, but we thought we'd try and get ahead of it. We've done a little bit of Go and flow charting, but then we're moving on to Scratch in the next couple of weeks.
You introduced GCSE computer science yet?
Not yet. We're still investigating that one, but I'm pretty sure that next September it will be available for our year 10 and 11.
And have you got a background in computer science? Have you done a degree in it or anything?
Back in the day,
yeah,
when these grey hairs were a bit darker, that's my degree, was computer studies. I did A-level on a Commodore 64, good old days, and it was all computer programming. So it's taken me right back to what I did years ago. Came out of university, went into computer support for 10 years, and then became a teacher later on. But it was, when I started, I was surprised that it was a Microsoft Office training course. And I think this is great. For me, this is great. Some other teachers at school might not think the same, who haven't done any program. But I was of an age where you had to program to get things to work. So it's good for me.
So some people listening to this podcast will be thinking, what's all the noise in the background? What's going on? Would you be able to describe in a few words what you've seen so far?
Alan's brought out a load of his Raspberry Pis, stuck them up on big screens on the wall. Kids are excited by seeing the Raspberry Pis to start with. Something a little bit different. I think some of them hadn't seen them before. And we're all breaking a game of Scratch, a racing game. All trying to get it, make it better. The kids seem to be doing more of it and teaching the parents what they're doing, which is quite good to see.
Do you find that a little bit terrifying in your class sometimes, the idea that you've got children who potentially know a lot more than you do about some of this?
Yeah. But not so much for year 7. I've gone quite confident with those. But I did have a sixth form student that I cheered in December when I actually taught him something.
Wow.
Taught Mark something. For 3 months it had been the other way around. It was great having him in. But yeah, it can be quite daunting. And I'm sure the way computer programming's going, there's quite a few of these. They all look into it. Nobody's sat around doing nothing. It seems to have grabbed them. And that's another way for me. Because I hear people saying that computer programming is boring. And to show kids sat around here doing this, it doesn't look boring at the minute.
So you're here in two roles today. You're here as a dad with your daughter, but I suppose you're also as a teacher, so you're undercover.
Yeah, that's my real reason. They're just support. I couldn't come on my own.
If a teacher was listening to this and was wondering like what would be the value in coming, what kind of things would you say to encourage a teacher to... What value would there be?
If you've no idea if you're new to the whole thing, come and have a go at Scratch.
Yes.
In the sort of environment where people just come and help. And it's quite open. It's not a classroom where you do this, do that, do the next bit.
And you're not going to find people laughing or mocking you.
No. It's very good. There's people helping each other all the way around, which is really nice to see. Come along next time. When is next time?
the next one is on the 3rd of November, Sunday the 3rd, and then we've got the 1st of December, which is, and then after that, we're hoping to make it a regular Saturday thing.
Good.
Thank you very much, David.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So now, this is the afternoon of Sunday, the 3rd of October, and we're at the senior hack jam at UCLan. We've got a bunch of people here in the room, and I'm sat with Michelle and Regan Hodgin. Is that how you say your surname?
That's right, yeah, that's right.
So Michelle, just tell us a little bit about your job and what you do when you're not hacking and jamming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I work at Wellfield Business and Enterprise College. I'm a student support officer, not a teacher, but I have a passion for coding and things. I'm not an expert myself, I'm picking up as I go, but I've decided to set up a Raspberry Pi club in school. We have our own blog and Twitter page, and a couple of year 9 boys, and my son as well, who's in year 10, comes along to those at lunchtime. 45 minutes isn't enough time. They end up rushing the sandwiches because we spend most of our time looking at the Raspberry Pi. They've all got their own Raspberry Pis as well. One of the young men has since joining the club has gone and bought one. Recently got the camera, so we're looking at doing time-lapse videos.
And I'm just looking here on the table in front of us. We've got, you've brought your own Raspberry Pi with you, and you've got loads of, you've got the Wi-Fi there so you can get onto the Wi-Fi. You've got the camera. You've got a lovely little USB hub.
Yep, looks the Pi like hub.
The
yeah.
Pi hub. Is that made by Pi Moroni?
It is, yeah.
Same ones
yeah.
you make the case, yeah.
I recently bought that to connect all the gadgets together. And I just think it's nice having the Raspberry Pi.
So can I ask, if you're running a club in school and you've got your own Raspberry Pi at home and everything, what's the value in coming to an event like this? Why would you want to come here?
To get ideas to pass on to share in school. You know, because working as we go, we've got the OCR resources that we've had a look at already, but there's so
there's
much more
like
to do.
The Jelly Baby and the traffic lights.
The Jelly Baby, so we've done that. We've got, you know, all the equipment to do that, the little LEDs, and it's the cost. The cost is nothing to put these things together. You know, it's just a few pounds to do these experiments in school. But coming to events like this is getting other ideas, like we've done today with the Wormy game, being able to hack those.
And Pi game.
Getting in ideas from other people. Websites and links, it's invaluable what you can pick up the information from the events that you're running.
So Regan, you're in year 10 now.
I like how you've set this up and all that lot, and where you can change the colours on the Wormy, and it's just been fun, like changing all the coding.
So are you doing GCSE computer science at school now?
We don't have computer science there. Chose the favourite things that I've got.
That was one of the reasons for setting the club up, because and coming along to these events, because they've not put it on the curriculum for Regan's option year. I think they will be doing for next option. So current year 9s, it will be an option to them. So that's why I've started coming to these clubs, because I want Regan to be able to experience it.
So normally in school, you wouldn't get a chance to do this kind of thing? No?
In ICT, when it was year 9, when we had a spare time near the end of year, we had a go on Python.
Yeah.
So, and that was just it. And it's just how... We also got the Twitter LED. We basically...
So when you send a tweet,
it'll scan
the Twitter. And like, if you tweeted LED on, it would turn the LED on. And it's just... amazing of what you can do with
so
technology.
At these kind of events, we see lots of mums and sons, dads and daughters that come along.
Yeah.
If somebody hadn't been to an event like this before, what kind of things would you say to them to encourage them to... Do you need to know a lot of technical stuff, do you think?
No, because I didn't, and I didn't even own a Raspberry Pi. I remember saying to him when I was coming, I don't own one yet. And I waited probably till about 4 or 5 events before I actually bought one, you know, just to pick things up. And the good thing is that there's so many different people here with such a big scale of knowledge, some that don't know a lot at all, but some that know, you know, very much and work in that industry. And no one's afraid to ask somebody. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't know anything. Just come and ask.
Do you not think that there's a feeling that the Raspberry Pi is overrated? Like, you know, people get excited about it, but then when they get it, they don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, and I did that. Even coming to the events, I did that. You've just got to persevere. And go looking for the information, but I like that. I like researching, but I can understand that somebody would get something. That happened to one of the year 9 lads. He had his Raspberry Pi for quite a while, and when he brought it in school, when we set up the Raspberry Pi club, it was dusty. So it was, you could tell he hadn't done much with it, but now it's having a focus. So these events do help with learning what he does.
Because Regan, I guess you've probably got a laptop at home as well, have you?
I've got an iMac.
You've got an iMac, which is a desktop. So why would you want to
use a Raspberry Pi? If you've got a flash computer already at home, what does the Raspberry Pi do that you can't do with your iMac?
It's just a little, like, resource that you can take anywhere. Obviously, as an iMac, you can't take it anywhere because it's quite big. But it's just a handy little thing where you didn't pay too much. It's just a...
And as mum, I'm not bothered if he breaks the Raspberry Pi.
So all this stuff with jelly beans and webcams and all that, have you not tried any of those with your iMac?
No, not yet. Really.
Why not?
Because we've got a Raspberry Pi.
Okay. Well, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of the event.
Thank you.
So, that was a few interviews we had with some of the people who were attending the Hack Jam in Preston. And now, it's still Friday.
It's still Friday.
Yeah, of course it is. And you might recognise that voice. That's the voice of...
Vicky Dodd. That's at VickyVille on Twitter.
Not Vicky Vile. That's
no,
a joke
Vicky
that's
Vile.
Getting tired now.
No, it is. Yeah. But, yes, Vile sometimes.
And you're still listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher, T-E-K-N-O teacher. And just to remind you, the point we're doing this podcast is to kind of help people feel and realise they're not on their own, that there are other teachers who are doing and facing the same kind of challenges that you are. And we make a few little mistakes and errors ourselves, but the point is we share them, and then hopefully you don't make the same mistakes that we have.
Which is plenty, if you've been me. Yeah. Which I'm trying to put right this year, of course.
Now, Vicky, tell us about what you've been doing with your Year 10 class this week.
This week, in fact, did I speak about the week before? Because I was doing algorithms. I moved from doing algorithms, flowcharts, pseudocode, because last year I thought that I covered that too late, and for the control assessments, they need to be able to actually identify the problem and write their own algorithms.
And what are you actually using? Because, okay, so still a few people are confused about what an algorithm is. Mm. So is this a piece of code that you're getting them to write?
No, it's just basically breaking down a problem. So originally I started with write the algorithm for making a sandwich, write the algorithm for making a paper aeroplane, for example.
And what were they using, flowcharts or what?
I actually got them to do both. So right. They wrote it down step by step, just a sequence of instructions, and then we introduced the flowchart I'm fairly sure it was the sandwich. So did they want butter, for example, might be a decision
right.
That would be made in a flowchart. But from that, we've then moved straight into programming. And we've done very simple programs that get user input through and strings, and moved on to doing a chatbot and an insult generator, and using those, introduce selection, similar tasks that I did last year, but very slowly introducing, so selection, if and else. So the chatbot or the insult generator might be football team. What is your favourite football team? So the user inputs their favourite football team. If it says Liverpool, well done, else they are crap, for example.
So one of the times I tried something like this with my class last year, and one of the things I've found is a problem with strings. So if you type in Liverpool, if they spell it wrong, or they spell it with a capital L and it's expecting a lowercase l, mm-hmm. How are you getting around that problem?
We haven't done it. I haven't done it yet because that's coming in over the next couple of weeks. So the intention is this week that I've also done operators. So I'm introducing comparison and mathematical operators, because last year I felt that I did that too late. And when you're doing selection and while loops and everything, you're checking conditions, they need to understand the operators, mathematical and comparison, which you kind of assume that they do know. So the assignment operator, the equal sign, or the equality operator, equals equals in Python, that they don't understand why they're different. So I actually teach that explicitly, so I've done that, and then that will move into a maths quiz with the if and else. So through instructional scaffolding, I'm repeating the same concepts over and over again using different challenges, if you like. So we'll move on to a maths quiz, and then after that I do a capital city quiz, which then checks the string for case. So whether it's got a capital letter,
yeah.
And you can actually use string handling methods to force the case of the input.
Sure. And I suppose think about literacy as well. If you say, what's the capital city of Spain, you're going to expect that they're going to use a capital letter at the beginning.
There you go. Yeah. But obviously they don't. So what I'll then teach them to do is to how to force case using the dot title method. And then obviously you've got the different ones of dot upper and dot lower, which then they'll introduce them to using, which only helps them for doing the controlled assessment next year as well.
So when you're doing taking user input and it's numbers and integers...
Yeah.
That is a little bit more straightforward, because You can't have uppercase or lowercase numbers.
Well, we've actually done that this week as well, where they've actually seen that to take in an integer through a user input, then they need to tell Python that, I want a number. So they're using the typecasting there as well.
Because if you're using the input function within Python, it always returns a string. And if you're trying to do operations that you want to do on an integer, that causes... Because you can't divide a string by a string.
And when you add it together, it will just concatenate the letter, the numbers, rather than actually adding them together. But in the Capital City quiz, how I extend that is that it has to give them the score. It has to keep a score using a score variable that increments each time they get the answer right. And then at the end of the quiz, they have to tell the user what their score was. So they then have to cast the integer of the score variable into a string.
This all sounds very technical, like you know what you're talking about.
I did it last year, so I'm a bit more comfortable with this now.
Have you been using Boolean operators like and, not, and, or?
No, not yet. I haven't needed them yet. Yeah. I think get used to the normal, the different operators, a comparison and mathematical before we move into Boolean.
Sure.
It's not needed just yet. They've only been going 5 weeks. Seven to both, how much do I need?
So you know how I was telling you my woes with the little man computer task? So we're doing the investigation assignment, which is A452 for the OCR GCSE computing. And one of the biggest challenges I'm finding is, because this class is mixed ability, then there isn't any problem really with the more able students understanding it, but the lower able or the lower ability range are really, really, really finding it a struggle. Now, one of the other things, we have this policy in school, which is every six lessons, so children should get some form of formal written feedback. And I could cop out and say, well, they're doing the controlled assessment. I can't actually mark their controlled assessment and give them feedback, because otherwise I'm infringing the rules. JCQ rules. So rather than cop out, what I've actually come up with, which is an alternative, is... And you actually came into the room today while I was teaching it.
Oh, this is the second time I've been in now while you've been teaching it.
Bye. You're welcome. We've just done a computing at school primary meeting at St. Ignatius in Preston, and some of the colleagues there were just saying goodbye. So as I was saying, I need something I can assess. So I set them like a little bit of a test today, in their exercise books, and I had six questions, and I think you came in part way through when I was doing that. So the first question was, explain what's the purpose of an input and an output in the little man computer. And really what I was looking for there was a solid understanding. I'm going to say an input is where you give values to the little man computer, an output is where it displays it. And then I marked these afterwards, and I've only looked at five books so far, and mixed response. There was about half of the books I looked at of the five, so two and a half of the books were saying, input, take values from the user, output, display them. But then the others, I'd got mixed responses, so they were saying, like, so when you output something, it outputs the value that's in a certain place. And I thought, no, they haven't quite grasped what that is yet. There were some other questions I had on there, like, explain what's the difference between an opcode and a mnemonic. So it doesn't say on the specification that they have to know and understand what these words are, but I think it's important. It's technical vocabulary, and if we're using it, I want them to be able to, you know, use it in the correct way.
Then you have to demonstrate an understanding of that in the controlled assessment, though, anyway.
In the controlled assessment, to get some of the higher marks, they're looking for them to demonstrate technical or use of technical vocabulary.
Yeah.
So, and that was it. And then I actually gave them a faulty piece of code for the little man computer where it takes an input, then outputs it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it takes an input, store it, take another input, store it, and then it halts, then take another input, store it, and then at the end it was just going to say that these are all pieces of data. So it was, what would happen if you pressed the compile button? So I wanted them to explain that, well, when you compile, it then takes these words, which are mnemonics, it then converts them into an opcode, then stores them in the mailboxes. And then I said, right, now you've probably spotted there's a fault in it. Now, actually, the five books I looked at, they'd all spotted that the fault was the halt was in the wrong place. So a halt in the little man computer makes it stop. And we'd written some instructions after the stop, so though they were kind of redundant. So they'd managed to spot that. So So now I've got a pile of books to mark and I've got some formal assessment. So what do you think is next week?
Next week I'll be, well, moving on to the maths quiz using integers and actually using the operators in a program, and then it'll be the capital city quiz. So again, variables, user input, and string handling through for case 14 case, but also then it'll be typecasting, so they'll have to actually cast an integer into a string as well.
Which, yeah, okay.
Through the score variable.
Right, okay.
So a lot, really, next week.
A couple of weeks ago, you were saying you were finding it difficult that some of the children had some prior experience of programming and others hadn't. Are you still seeing that now?
Not so much now, because I think it was the fear factor with Python with a lot of them, because it was something they hadn't seen before. They're getting there now, and what I've found is by giving them the examples to fix and how I've rearranged the seating plan as well, there's always somebody close to them that they know can help them as well as myself, obviously. But what I've got them doing a lot more of is providing some code that won't work, it's got errors in, and they have to fix it. So we're getting used to now the syntax, for example, identifying errors, debugging code. They've now got used to the Python interface through the shell and everything. So they're a lot more comfortable.
There was a really nice moment, which I mentioned, which was, I was walking down the corridor one day and Jack from your class saw him and he was going, "Oh, sir, is Miss Dodd in today?" And I said, "Yeah." He went, "Oh, great." Which was really nice.
Yeah, I'd been out for a couple of lessons and I think he was a bit worried. The class now are completely different to how they were, I think, when they first started, and they're a lot more comfortable with it.
They've weighed you up now.
I think so, possibly. Yeah. They've weighed me up, and it's just getting used to a new class, but it's also a new subject for a lot of them, and it's, for some, it's not necessarily what they expected. Computing, building a computer, I'm going to be making games. Yeah. Well, in actual fact, no, it's the basics of computer programming. You can't go straight into making 3D games. Sorry.
Might be worth mentioning now, as we're doing this podcast each week, and we keep getting requests for help and people saying, you know, will you help us make sense of this? We've got these Dragonfly courses coming up pretty soon. So you're doing one?
I'm doing Codoo. I think I'm doing a Scratch one as well at some point.
So you're doing one at Our Ladies?
Yeah.
And are you heading off somewhere sunny, like Birmingham?
Birmingham or London, I think, are my sunny destinations, unlike yourself.
And they're all listed on the they're all listed on the Dragonfly course website. And I'm doing, I think I've got three different Dragonfly courses. Yeah, I've got one which is, how do you introduce computing into your curriculum? And then I'm doing one which is, how do you introduce computing science using Scratch? And then the other one is, how do you introduce computing science using Python? In fact, I'm just thinking about it. My first one is on Wednesday next week, the 16th of October.
I think I've got one next week as well.
Ah.
But that's the Tower Ladies, not at not anywhere else. It's just the Tower Ladies.
So we're going to be doing them all over the country. So there's some in Preston, there's some in Birmingham, there's some in London, in hotels.
Yes.
And if people want to know more, then we can tweet or something about the Dragonfly courses. Right, I think we'll wrap it up there for this week. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher, TEKNO, and
Vicky Dodd, that's at Vickyville, VickiVille.
And something interesting, there may be some announcements coming out soon in the news about certain broadcasters and BBC am I allowed to mention that? Well, hopefully there's going to be some exciting news coming out soon. You heard it here first.
Excellent.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.